show or any of our previous shows, please drop us an email at outsources@kgnu.org. Thanks very much. Have a happy new year.
It's 7 o'clock. This is KGNU, Boulder and Denver.
Good evening. This is Chris Moore with KGNU's Opera Box, the last KGNU Opera Box of the year. Now, last year, I believe I probably played excerpts from the Flatermouse, The Bat, because that takes place on New Year's Eve and what would seem more perfect, but I don't want to be repetitive. So this time, we're going to hear two operas, excerpts from them, one Susanna and one Susanna. One by Handel, the Susanna, which goes back to the Baroque period, of course, of the early to mid-1700s, I believe about 1749. And then Carlyle Floyd, using the same basic biblical story, comes up with an allegory, I guess, as it were, about McCarthyism. So the two are quite different from one another. The original story actually is an apocryphal version from the Book of Daniel, which tells the story where Daniel the judge saves Susanna's life. She's an innocent married woman, totally chaste, absolutely devoted to her husband. And in the opera Susanna by Handel, she begins by singing a duet expressing her love for her husband. Then she goes off to bathe privately, and two lecherous elders come along, one of whom has been carving her name into trees, and I mean, he's just been just lusting after her terribly, and they see her bathing, and they come to her and they say, if you don't agree to have sex with me, us, we will accuse you of having adultery, and of course you will then be put to death, as the Old Testament demands. Well, she insists on her innocence, and they go ahead and they charge her, and she's about to face the death penalty when the great judge Daniel comes along and comes up with a jurisprudence concept that had not been thought of before, and it's amazing that it hadn't been, but somebody had to think about it, and Daniel apparently was the first one to do this, to separate out the two witnesses and compare their stories. And in one of them, she's having, supposedly, is having adulterous affair with some man under a very, very large tree, and then under, and another one under a very, very small tree. And Daniel says, well, you guys are telling absolutely contradictory stories. And those guys are brought to death. And as a result, Susanna and her husband are happily married again and happily reunited and enjoy a lifetime of joy together. So there you have the story from Daniel, the original. Handel's Susanna follows basically that same plot line, and it begins with Susanna feeling some bad premonitions that things are going too well, and she's worried about that. In the case of Susanna by Carlyle Floyd, and it's definitely Susanna because it's kind of an appellation sort of story, what we have here instead is a young lady, Susanna, who is has no idea what's about to come down on her. She's an absolutely innocent person. She's a virgin. She is not married. And she just goes and takes a bath privately. And some of the elders come along from the church and discover her taking a bath, feel great lust for her, and then accuse her of being a terrible, sinful woman. And things go very, very differently for her than they do for the happy Susanna. Well, let's listen to the innocence of Susanna from Carlyle Floyd in this song near the beginning of the opera.
Its
And so there we hear a little music from Carlisle Floyd's Susanna, Ain't It a Pretty Night. Cheryl Studer is singing the role of Susanna in that performance. Now we're going to go back a few hundred years to Susanna and the part where the elders come in and discover the innocent, in this case, virtuous wife who is bathing alone. And these two guys are lusting terribly after her. We're going to hear Lorraine Hunt, Drew Minter, Jill Feldman, William Parker, Jeffrey Thomas, and David Thomas with the UC Berkeley Chamber Chorus and the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra, conducted by Nicholas McGeegan. Let's hear the two elders one at a time as they lust after the innocent Susanna.
Thank you. Cursed be the day, and cursed the
So from Handel's Susanna, we heard the lecherous arias of the first elder and the second elder, and then a chorus that comes in singing, "Righteous heaven beholds their guile." And you can tell from the wildly intense and very fast fugue that righteous heaven is not happy with the guile of these two elders. The chorus is very, very different in Susanna, the 1950s opera. There's actually, instead of a kind of a Greek chorus who is a voice of morality and a voice praising the wonderful moral qualities of Susanna and the terrible moral qualities of the elders, in the case of Susanna, the 1950s opera, there are choruses too, and they are the chorus of the McCarthyites. There's no doubt about it. That's who they represent, and they are very, very involved directly in contributing to the destruction of Susanna's reputation entirely. Some of the other similarities and differences, both of these operas, well, actually, one is an oratorio, and that's Susanna by Handel back in 1749. And an oratorio is very much like an opera, except that everyone just stands there and sings with books in their hands. And there's no staging, and there's no costumes, really, except tuxedos and dresses and that sort of thing. So that's one of the big differences. But one of the things that they have in common is they're both very pastoral. Both of them take place in the countryside, and both of them have music that has a very pastoral quality and that celebrates the beauty of nature. And that is a way of kind of capturing the innocence of Susanna and Susanna. Now, from the time of almost some time immemorial, but for hundreds and hundreds of years in Europe, the story of Susanna, which was not one of the most major stories of the Book of Daniel in the apocryphal section of the Bible, was a very popular subject because it has, of course, a naked woman who's innocent, who's bathing, and then it looks like these elders are about to come in and try to rape her. And so that's a very powerful image, and it was also very powerful for Handel to take advantage of that from a dramatic point of view. And of course, the same thing with Carlisle Floyd. When this opera first came out, and there's a scene, a topless scene, where you can see just the back of Susanna taking her bath in the river, it was a real shocker for the 1950s and 1960s audiences, and it took a while for us to kind of get used to that. But these are things that both this opera and this oratorio have in common. Now, we have seen what has happened where the elders come in and take care of, or try to destroy, actually, Susanna. But now let's see what happens when the elders come along in Susanna by Carlisle Floyd, and then the chorus comes in after that, again playing a very, very different role.
It's a blasphemous outrage in a public place. nice.
Naked is from her dead bars.
It's a shameful sight to behold.
She's a shameless wench. This Susanna is my wife. All the saints, she was evil and she was right. My brethren, she was mighty right. This girl, she belongs to the devil.
Exposing herself in plain view upon heresy.
The church would stand for a thing like this.
Preaching starts tonight.
What's he say about the polka?
The same as what we said. She's gotta make a public confession, or out of the church she goes.
And out in the valley too, baby. She's a stealing one, she is. Young men ain't safe with her around. She's an instrument of the devil.
The preacher's at Brother MacLean's house now, praying that her soul might be saved, that she'll turn aside from her evil ways and be washed in the cleansing stream.
She
She's a powerful one, this Susanna Polk, my son. She's lured away from all the things that he's been teached. For that she's gonna have to pay.
From Carlisle Floyd's Susanna, we heard the part where the McCarthyite chorus comes in and actually rejects her because she's a sinner in their minds for daring to bathe on her own property. Well, one of the interesting things about this opera versus the oratorio of Handel's is that, well, actually both of them involve church elders, of course, and the church elders stir up a lot of trouble. It's their own lust that causes them to blame her for being a woman of low morals, in the case of both Susanna and Susanna. The difference, though, is that in Handel's opera, or oratorio rather, the general quality is one of spiritual transcendence. As the evil elders come in and lust after her and then accuse her of adultery because she won't have sex with them, I mean, they're just as awful as you can get. Then a wise judge comes along, and then there's this transcendently beautiful music near the end of Handel's oratorio, because that evil is transcended, and it brings us a great spiritual lesson that is a very happy one. What happens with the spiritual elders in Susanna by Carlisle Floyd is quite the opposite. It's not really a very spiritual opera. In fact, the next thing that starts happening before too long in Susanna by Carlisle Floyd is that the pastor Blick is going to come along and eventually rape her. So things turn very, very bad, and it's not doesn't give a very good picture of religiosity. There's nothing but false religiosity, as it turns out, in Susanna. In Susanna, there's true spiritual greatness and then evil church elders, as it were. Let's go back now to the Handel, and we'll hear a trio, Deceitful Wolves, Away, Away.
Thank you.
So at this point in our two dramas, Susanna and Susanna are both facing rejection. Susanna actually facing the death penalty for allegations of adultery that are falsely being lobbed at her. And in the case of Susanna, total rejection by her society. Well, we'll see that now the directions of the two operatic works go in very different ways. For Susanna in Carlisle Floyd's opera, things go from bad to worse, actually. She's been completely rejected by her society, ostracized absolutely for having dared to bathe, as I said before, alone on her own property or near her own property. Now, in the second act, she's feeling really lonely, and she sings one of the most beautiful and sad songs ever to appear in any opera. The trees on the mountains are cold and bare. And then Pastor Blitch comes in and starts to seduce her and eventually rapes her. He sings about what a lonely man he is and forces himself on her because she's just too exhausted to resist anymore.
Thank you. That's mighty pretty singing, Susanna.
Who is it?
It's your friend, the preacher. Do you all sing so pretty?
I sing to myself when I'm sad or lonesome. It keeps me company.
That's a right sad song. Don't look like it'd do you much good. This is what you might call a social visit. I want to talk to you about your soul.
There ain't nothing to say, so you're wasting your time.
You're a hard-headed one, Susanna. The devil's in you. Pride goes before destruction, sister. Let's kneel and pray to God for your soul.
No need to pray. I've done prayed enough for a smile.
Exposing yourself for no sin against the Lord.
We'll pray that in that quick offspring, and took no harm in it at all, till them elders seen me there and started making up their tales.
They didn't make up no tales, Susanna.
Little man come over here the very night after it happened, and told me that it lied about me, told me that it lied, screaming and hollering all over the yard. He ain't never said a hand.
Wish I could believe you.
But it's the truth. And I'll tell you something else. I ain't never spent such a week as this. Not never in all my life. I don't know what it'd be like to be happy again. Or to
thank you. I gotta have somebody, somebody I can love like other folks do, 'cause it's a lonesome work I do. My reward, it is in heaven, and there's
And the Reverend Olin Blitch, sung by Samuel Ramey there, takes Susanna Polk into her house. Cheryl Studer sings that role and proceeds to seduce or rape her. Things are going, as I said, from bad to worse in the case of Susanna by Carlisle Floyd. But things get a lot better back in Handel's world, where Daniel has found a way to make sure that the witnesses are being honest, and that's by separating them and having them each tell their story individually. And when those stories turn out not to be matching, it's the nasty elders that are sentenced to death. And Susanna then has a chance to join up with her husband, Joachim, and sing this beautiful duet, "To My Chaste Susanna's Praise." And then the chorus comes in. And again, this is kind of a Greek chorus singing of the wisdom of... They're just taking the place of wise observers, I guess you might say. And they sing, "A virtuous wife shall soften fortune's frown." Let's listen to the final two scenes from Handel's Susanna.
I must wear it not for long. I must wear it.
That exquisitely beautiful duet was sung by soprano Lorraine Hunt and countertenor Drew Minter in the roles of Susanna and her husband Joachim, the happy ending, which was also praised by the UC Berkeley Chamber Chorus, the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra. Nicholas McGeegan, who you get to hear every year up at the Aspen Music Festival, was our conductor in that performance of Susanna by George Frederick Handel. Well, let's go back, because this chorus is considerably more stupid, and that's the one that is the churchgoers, basically, who continue no matter what happens, even after Pastor Blitch comes in and tells the congregation that Susanna is innocent. It doesn't help at all. Let's listen to the stupid chorus now from Susanna by Carlisle Floyd in the second act.
Sister, I ask you to come here this morning for the purpose of righting a terrible wrong. It's a blessed privilege for the Lord to let us make restitution for our errors while we are alive. And we have all been in error, brethren and sister, bad error. The young woman what sits in the rear has been the victim of our error. She is innocent of the charges against her, and grievous for the things she's endured. I ask her to beseech her forgiveness, and humbly ask her pardon for your misjudgment.
How do you know she's innocent, preacher?
The Lord spoke to me in the night while I was a-praying for her soul.
Going to have to end here because this is the end of our time with Opera Box, but we can see already that Pastor Blitch is not going to be very successful in winning over the congregation about the innocence of Susanna. Susanna, Susanna, our theme today on Opera Box. Enjoy your new year. I'm Chris Moore, and Opera Box comes up next week.
Good evening. Thanks for tuning in. This is KGNU Denver Boulder, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Netherland. And you might even want to listen in at online, kgnu.org. I am James. It's the end of 2015, just out a couple days to go. And if I have a theme to the show, it's just an opportunity to slow down, relax, and enjoy some good music. the holidays are over. It's just a hangover season of that. All that rushing around, all that shopping, all that opening, all that partying. So it's not all going to be mellow like this necessarily, but it's going to be relaxing. This is a fantasy from Wolfgang Amadei Mozart on piano. I'm going to let this finish out and then go into one of the five mystical songs by Rafe Vaughan Williams. So do stay tuned.